Good day, and welcome to the quarterly All-EN Payments conference call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Kimberly Cutler, EN Payments Manager. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Ron. Welcome, and thank you for attending the All-EN Payments call today, Tuesday, January the 29th. I am Kimberly Cutler, the EN Payments Manager and host of today's call. The purpose of today's presentation is to provide insight into the payment process on the following agenda topics. So today we will go over the end of year stats, the 2019 trial work level and SGA rates. We'll provide ePay stats. We will discuss changes to ePay, use of certification of services or costs for payments, additional available payments. We will focus on updating EN contact information and also on payments for unassigned tickets. So we will go ahead and get started with some announcements. The deadline for submitting the annual security awareness training certification is February 28, 2019. All employment network staff will sign and will sign a copy of the SSA 222 form, which will be kept on site. All staff will be listed on the addendum, which must be completed and signed by either the signatory authority or the suitability contact. If an EN has only one individual, please email a scanned copy of the SSA 222, scan that copy in instead. The individual signing the form should be listed at the top of the form. So what's new this year is the addendum must be completed and signed electronically. And instructions on electronically signing the addendum are available on the yourtickettowork.ssa.gov website. And completed forms should be submitted to, and you have your link there, Security Awareness Training 222 at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. So what I wanted to reiterate again is the change that's what's new this year is the addendum must be completed and signed electronically. So I just want to make sure to reiterate that information. And a gov delivery was sent out before with this information, so just make sure that you guys are following the instructions as far as the security awareness training certification. The next slide here provides the 2018 end-of-year stats. And so as you can see, the total paid amount was over $68 million last year. 38,834 cases were denied. There were 18 split payments processed with a total payout over $4,000. So those are the statistics for the end of 2018. 2019 trial work level, or TWL, and substantial gainful activity, or SGA, rates are as follows. The trial work level rate for 2019 is $880 a month. SGA is $1,220 a month. And blind SGA is $2,040 a month. The next slide actually provides the 2019 payment rates. So here we have, if you are under the milestone outcome method payment, the rates are for SSI payment, phase one milestones will be $1,442. Phase two milestones will be $247. And outcome payments will be $247. If it's an SSDI payment, then, or SSDI client, then the payment amount for phase one milestone is $1,442, phase two milestones, $432, and the same pay for outcome, $432. If you have selected the outcome-only method payment, then the rate for SSI is $460 a month, and SSDI would be $805 a month. Please make note that you can access this data on the yourtickettowork.ssa.gov website under the EN tab. So you will be able to go there and actually see the 2019 payment rate. Moving on, the next slide shows the ePay statistics as of January 24th. So the processing of the most recent ePay file began on December the 31st. And please remember that claims are processed by Social Security number instead of DUNS. And the ePay file that we received in December contained a little over 20,000 SSNs. So as I mentioned, as of January the 24th, We have 6,026 claims were paid, 1,658 SSNs were paid, and the total amount paid through January 24th was $3,677,428. And 118 ENs have received payment since we started processing the e-pay file. We are in the middle of processing the e-pay file, but there are some reminders. You may submit your payment request through the ticket portal instead of waiting for e-pay. And we do encourage you to go ahead and submit for your payment because, as mentioned on the previous slide, the e-pay file is processed by SSNs and not done. So if you do have evidence of earnings, please go ahead and submit your payment request through the ticket portal. Please ensure that your EN payment contact information is current. We email the EN payment contact for payment outreach messages and confirmation of possible split payment. Reminder number three, when submitting information to ENST about payments, please annotate your EN contact information for payment. To add a payment contact, please send a request to enservice@ssa.gov and specify the name of the person and indicate the title you want them to have. All payments contacts must have completed suitability. Moving on to the next slide, here we provide the recent changes to processing e-pay. Unassigned tickets will not be included in e-pay. ENs must request these payments via the ticket portal. Phase 1 milestones will no longer be paid via e-pay. Government trusted partners, such as your VREs and Workforce Investment Boards or American Job Centers, will continue to receive Phase 1 milestone payments via e-pay. So one of the biggest changes to e-pay, again, is Phase 1 milestones are no longer available through e-pay. So you must submit that request through the ticket portal. The next couple of slides will cover the use of certification of services for payments. In the previous calls, there have been some questions about when you would need to submit certification of services when requesting a payment. So what we wanted to just provide some information about the use of certification of services. So effective August 1st of last year, all ENs must provide a relationship with the beneficiary in order to receive payment. This is in addition to having proof of earnings. ENs must request Phase 1 milestones 1 through 4 via the ticket portal. ENs can submit either pay stubs or a cost as proof of relationship with the beneficiary during the Phase 1 milestone phase. A key thing to remember with this new change is that the cost or the pay stubs should cover the entire milestone period. And just a quick example of that, if you're requesting or if the EN is requesting a Phase 1 Milestone 2 payment and using the claim month January 2018 through March 2018, and you're making that payment based on earnings already established in SSA system, the EN must submit a cost with a detailed list of services provided with dates for each month. So, again, when you are submitting information as proof of relationship, please make sure that your costs, your certification services, or your pay stubs cover the entire milestone period. Pay stubs are the preferred proof of relationship. Payment requests that include a pay stub will not require additional evaluation. Now, of course, as with any payment, the information must meet the payment's criteria, but when it comes to establishing a proof of relationship, if you do have the pay stubs, which are preferred, then you will not need to submit a certification of services. Please note, if an EN is unable to establish proof of relationship at any point during the Phase 1 milestone period, the ticket will be unassigned. So again, I just wanted to reiterate that you must be able to prove a relationship with the beneficiary in order to receive payment, and the relationship must cover the entire milestone period. If an EN is unable to establish proof of relationship, then that ticket will be unassigned. Certification of services is also required when a ticket is unassigned by a ticket holder. So when ENs submit payment requests after ticket holders unassign their ticket, TPM will request documentation and description of services. The number of payments EMs will be eligible for after ticket holder on assignment is based on assessment of services provided. So, again, if you are submitting for a payment request and the ticket has been unassigned by the beneficiary, please make sure that you are submitting documentation and description of services provided for that ticket holder. If not, TPM EM payment staff will perform an outreach asking that you provide that information. Now we're going to discuss additional available payments. TPM will process additional available payments when EMs request a payment via the ticket portal. This was previously mentioned in one of the all-in payments calls. There was a point when we were not assessing additional payments, and just want to let you know, effective now, TPM will process additional payments. Please note that TPM will process all available Phase 2 milestones and outcome payments for ENs that operate as a traditional EN. All available Phase 1 milestones, Phase 2 milestones, and outcomes will be processed for VR ENs and workforce ENs. So we are processing additional claims, available claims, but please note which business operation you're falling under, and if it's traditional, then it's Phase 2 milestones and outcome payments. And this is when you, as an EN, you may request a Phase 2 milestone 1 and you submit your evidence of earnings. If we identify, we being TPM, identify additional earnings in SSA's database and all other payment criteria is met, TPM will assess those payments. They will make those payments. Moving to the next slide, we want to talk about updating EN contact information. Social Security should be notified of any staffing changes at the EN or the VREN agency. In particular, portal user access has to be disabled on our end. Without Social Security being notified, that person can still access the portal. So it is imperative that you make sure to report any type of staffing changes to SSA. And you want to make sure that you keep, well, all information should be updated, but you also want to make sure you update your payment contact. When TPM outreaches to service providers for needed additional information for payments, the request will be sent directly to your EN's payment contact. Another example, the annual performance outcome reports will be emailed, will be sent out soon. So, again, you just want to make sure that your information is current so that we can ensure that that information is being received or by your employment network agency. What we will focus on next is payments for unassigned tickets. So when a ticket holder unassigns a ticket, so when EN submits payment requests, after ticket holder unassigns a ticket, TPM will request a cost, is what I mentioned earlier, so documentation and description of services provided to ticket holder. The number of payments ENs will be eligible for is based on assessment of services provided. ENs may be eligible up to 12 payments. Requests for payments must be submitted within 18 months after the ticket is unassigned. ENs will be notified of all available payments. So once you submit for a request and the ticket was unassigned by the beneficiary, you will need to submit certification of services. Once TPM receives that information, we will do an assessment of those services, and an EN may be eligible for up to 12 payments. And again, TPM will notify the EN of the number of payments and also the time frame to submit the payments. And that 18 months does not start from when you submit a payment request. The 18 months starts from the date of ticket unassignment. If an EN unassignment, for EN unassignments, ENs are not eligible for payments after the EN unassigns the ticket. Okay? If you are CDS EN, Consumer Directed Services, CDS ENs are not eligible for future payments, including split payments following the ticket holder unassignment from the CDS EN. So key things to remember here, if the ticket holder unassigns the ticket, then a certification of services will be required. There will be an assessment to see how many payments, up to 12, an EN can receive. and you have 18 months to submit for payment after the ticket has been unassigned. If an EIN unassignment, regardless of your business model, whether you're a traditional EIN or a CDS EIN, if the EIN unassigns the ticket, then there are no more available payments. Okay. And the last slide here is what we cover. We want to make sure that you all have access to the CPM resources. And we talked about the use of the certification of services when you are establishing proof of relationship for phase one milestones, and also when a ticket is unassigned by a ticket holder and you're requesting payments, you will need to submit certification of services. You want to make sure that you're using the EIN cost form. And on this slide, you can actually see where that form is located. Also wanted to provide, we do have system help and payments helpline that are available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you have the toll-free number, 866-949-3687. And if you're calling for a payments-related question, you would hit option one. For system help issues, you would hit option two. You can also email for payment issues, you would send the email to EIN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. For questions and issues related to ticket assignment, the service provider website, and the ticket portal, then you will contact EIN Systems Help at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And please be mindful that you are not to email any personal identifiable information without encrypting the information. Okay, so that concludes the presentation part of today's call. And, Ron, if we can, I would like to open it up for questions, but I would like to start with the chat. And I would like to ask John if we have any questions in the chat.
Absolutely. So right now we've got four questions queued up. Our first one comes from Becky, who asks, when can we expect the e-pay to be completed and all ENs paid?
Well, this particular time, the file that we received in December was a very large file. So we don't have a date of when it will be completed, but we are processing that file along with processing cases that are submitted through the ticket portal. So we do not have an exact date, but we are processing those as quickly as possible.
All right. And our next question comes from Howard Funkhauser, who asks, so as long as we can provide a COS for the milestone period, then we can request milestones without pay stubs when payment information is already available to Maximus.
Yes, if you are submitting for a payment request and you are submitting through the portal and you receive the message earnings already established, then you can submit for payment requests. Again, just making sure that you're providing a detailed list of services provided with the dates and making sure that that information will cover the requested milestone period. Pay stubs are preferred, but that is an option if you are making a payment based on earnings already established in SSA's database.
All right, and our next question is actually a follow-up from Howard Funkhauser, who asks, and for clarification, there will be no e-pay for phase one milestones.
That is correct. Phase one milestones must be submitted through the ticket portal.
All right, and then our final question in the chat comes from Lauren Womack, who asks, we are an American Job Center who does e-pay. We have not received any payments yet for this e-pay period. Should we be concerned?
You should definitely not be concerned. And as stated before, this was one of the largest files that we've received. And the files are, or the information, we do process based on SSNs and not the DUNs. So I would just say to continue to check the portal for payments made to your agency, but there should be no worries. Again, we are processing the e-pay file alongside processing cases that are submitted through the queues. Okay, I think you said that was one more question you had, John.
Yeah, that's the last question. I'm going to start flagging questions that have come in while you open up the line.
All right, thank you. So, Ron, I would like to open the phone lines at this time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone today, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll take the first question from the line of Stacey Clark. Please go ahead.
Hi, Stacey.
Oh, hi. I actually don't have a question. Hi, I have a comment. Unfortunately, I continued to click the link so I could watch the webinar for the whole call, and none of it was working. So I don't know if anybody else, and I wasn't able to, you know, type into the chat room. So I missed all of the slides. I think you guys put these on later on some kind on your website, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if anyone else had that issue. Yes.
Those are actually available right now. If you go to yourtickettowork.ssa.gov and click training and events, and then on the
mm-hmm.
left-hand side, if you click that events tab, you will
okay.
be able to download the PDF right now with the presentation. The ePay data isn't in that PDF, but it's available directly on that web page.
Okay, let me write this down. Yeah, and I called, but yeah, I tried three different browsers and three different computers, and none of the links were working to the email that you guys sent. So I don't know if it was my problem. So I just wanted to give that feedback. Yeah, I was not able to, that link was not working. Was it a different site you guys used this time for the webinar or the same? You know?
Nothing has
same.
Changed on our end.
Okay, so it must be my end. Okay, thank you guys.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. And we'll now move on to the next question from the line of James Watson. Please go ahead.
Yes, I had it. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I had the same problem, but I did finally resolve it, but it was toward the end of the slideshow. Maybe you might want to put something out in the new emails. Our default browser is Internet Explorer, but I did get it to work in Firefox, but I kept getting the same thing. The link just told me it couldn't connect. So anyway, I did manually cut and paste it and move it over to the Firefox browser, and it did finally work. But I don't know what the issues are, but I just thought I'd mention that too.
Okay, thanks, Mr. James. We'll definitely make a note of it, and I do apologize for the inconvenience that it may have caused.
That's okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Diane Roberts. Please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. I had the same problem that the previous two individuals expressed, but I missed where I can find the transcript. So I did hear you say yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, then go to training and events, and then I'm going through and I can't seem to find what I'm looking for. So just to make sure that I have, you know, I tried to take notes, but it was kind of difficult.
Absolutely. So right now only the presentation is available. So after you click training and events on the left-hand side, you should see a link that says events.
Yes.
Clicking that, you should be able to download the All-In Payments Call presentation. Under resources, where the presentation is listed, there should be a PDF link.
All Employment Network Payments Call today. Oh, I see it. Thank you so much. All right, perfect. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Anastasia Shepherd. Please go ahead.
This is John Shepherd. If an EN unassigned a ticket by the request of VR, would the individual with the EN be eligible for payment up to the point of unassignment?
Hi, yes. So if the ticket, and just make sure I understand the question, if you as an EN have the ticket assigned, the ticket is then unassigned and moved to and then placed in use with the VR, then yes, you would be eligible for payment up until the month of ticket assignment.
Thank you.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Larry Brown. Please go ahead.
The current ePay is covering how many quarters, and when it completes, when will the next ePay start?
We do try to strive to have the ePay file generated every quarter, But sometimes we do run into different issues, systems issues, different things that we're not able to get it exactly every quarter. But that is the goal. And what we'll always try to do is whenever we do start processing an e-pay file, we will put a notification out so EINs are aware. So, again, we do try to stay as close as we can to having the e-pay file each quarter.
Thank you.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Randy Hunter. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Hello, Mr. Hunter. Your line is fully interactive. Please go ahead.
Yes, I said that my question was answered earlier.
Okay, thank you. Ron, if we can, what I'll do now is we'll just go back and see if John has any questions in the chat.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We've got quite a few building up here. So our first one comes from Rosalie Daly, who asks, can you review the EN unassigned, not available to be paid again information?
I'm sorry, what, could you repeat that, John?
The EN unassigned, not available to be paid again.
To get unassigned by EN.
When the ticket is, if I'm understanding the question, so when an EN unassigns the ticket, then there are no more payments available to that EN. Was that the question?
As far as I can tell, she hasn't sent anything in the chat for follow up.
Okay, John,
I have left
this is Karen. Can I just clarify? Everybody bought a CDS EN, unassigned, if the EN unassigns a ticket, payments are no longer available for dates after unassignment, but they can still request payments for dates that the ticket was assigned.
All right, and for now, I'll mark that question as answered, and if she asks follow-up in the chat, then I will go ahead and flag that. Moving on to our next question from Becky. She asks, what can we expect moving forward with the e-pay process changes that occurred in 2018? It is my understanding that there would be two e-pays a year. Is that still accurate?
Again, what we do is we do strive to have the e-pay file to process the e-pay file quarterly, but again, we don't necessarily want to say that we're done, you know, that we ended this month and then it'll start exactly 3 months later, because there are, you know, could be extenuating circumstances to develop in that file, because it is a process on the back end that's related to systems and whatnot. But again, moving forward, the exclusions still apply, as far as, you know, no unassigned tickets will be on the e-pay file. Phase one milestone ones are not available during the e-pay file. So those rules are, those aren't changing. But again, as far as the frequency of the e-pay file, we do try to stick to it as close as we can to every quarter. So unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to say that we can guarantee it, you know, twice a year, four times a year.
All right. And our next question comes from Beth Schumer, who asks, if a ticket is still signed but the case file has been closed and we are receiving payments, is this okay?
If the ticket is unassigned and they're still receiving payments?
If the ticket is assigned but the case file has been closed.
If the ticket is still assigned and the EN, if they're asking for phase one milestone ones, then they would need to show proof of relationship. If they're asking for phase two milestones or outcomes, and then they need to provide, either they would provide the evidence of earnings, or if there are verified earnings in SSA's database and other payment criteria is met, then those could be paid.
I think they mean that, and the person who asked the question can clarify, but it sounds to me like they do have, the ticket's still assigned, but they're not working with the person anymore. And now let's just say it's phase twos and outcomes where we're not requiring proof.
Right.
Or so it's passing. So really what it is, if you are no longer working with that ticket holder and you feel that you should not be getting payments, then the ticket should be unassigned. If you're not going to work with somebody anymore, you should unassign tickets.
Okay, this is Deborah, and I'm not sure either what the caller meant, but based on the way the question was posed, if the case was closed, sounds like you're talking about the case closed with the VR and the ticket is now assigned to an EN possibly. And if that's the case, it all depends on whether or not the VR closed the case with a successful closure or unsuccessful closure, whether or not there would be any phase one milestone payments available.
And if that's the case, it's more than if it's just successful or unsuccessful. Successful,
yeah.
We definitely do not pay the phase ones. There is a slight chance that if it is unsuccessful, we still may not pay if we paid the VR agency the cost reimbursement. That does happen on occasion. And then, therefore, it is treated like a successful closure from Social Security.
Okay. And hopefully, John, that one of those three answers actually answered. But if not, if they ask for clarification in the chat, then we will address that at that time.
Absolutely. And so then I'll move on to our next question from Jamie Head, who asks, is there going to be any issue if there's a crossover between ePay paying on an SSN and the EN submitting a payment in the portal for the same Social Security number?
That definitely happens sometimes because, again, we are processing based on SSNs. So we may get to that SSN that's listed on the ePay file and end up seeing that the case was also submitted through the portal, and, of course, we would just process it accordingly. There are times that there will be an SSN on the ePay file and the EN submitted a request through the portal around that same time frame, and that portal case was already paid. So, yeah, sometimes that happens, but either way, the case will be paid, whether it's addressed through the portal or addressed on the ePay file.
All right. And then our next question comes from the NYESSEN, who asks, does the EN need to do anything to get enabled to submit a phase one milestone for payment?
I'm sorry, John, could you repeat the question?
Absolutely. Does the EN need to do anything to get enabled to submit a phase one milestone for payment?
No, the EN can submit the request through the portal. Again, they just need to make sure that they are able to show proof of relationship. So there's nothing that they really need to do. They would just submit the payment request through the portal. The only restriction is that a phase one milestone one will not be paid via ePay.
All right. And our next question comes from Mary Lynn, who asks, does Social Security or TPM provide information to service providers as to the number of phase one, phase two, and outcome payments for 2018 versus 2017?
I'm sorry, John. The first part of the question?
But Mary Lynn wants to know if there's a breakdown between phase one, phase two, and outcome payments year over year.
That isn't public right now. That would have to come through a request to the agency.
Okay. And then our next question from Ann Austin. For clarification, if earnings are available in the portal, should we still enter information from available pay stubs?
Yes. Pay stubs will be the preferred method or your preferred evidence of earnings. So, yes, even if the earnings are in the system and you have access to the pay stub, please enter your information from the pay stub and submit the pay stubs as your proof of earnings.
All right. Our next question comes from Therese Botts, who asks, if a client won't cooperate and tell us where they are working and we are not able to get their earnings for phase one milestones, will we be disqualified for payments for phase two and outcome payments?
Yes. If a ticket is assigned to the agency and you are requesting phase one milestone ones, or you have not, phase one milestone ones have not been addressed, and you are unable to contact the beneficiary, then at that point you will not be able to establish proof of relationship, so the ticket may be unassigned. But I would encourage you, if you, you know, as an employment network, if you are unable to contact the beneficiary, then the ticket, you can make the decision to unassign the ticket, but you will not be able to get paid for phase one milestone ones, which could result in the unassignment of the tickets, and then there will no longer be any payments available at that point.
All right. And our next question comes from Glenn Howell, who asks, we are an AGC, EN, and on ePay. Some of my clients do not answer phones or email attempts, so I have no idea what they are earning. Would ePay catch earnings in the future?
Yes. When we're processing the ePay file, it is based on earnings that are already established in the system. So if the earnings are there, and again, if other payment criteria is met, then that payment will be made.
All right. And then okay, we've got three more questions.
Okay. And then we'll open the lines. You can go ahead with your three.
Perfect. Our next question comes from Kim Barrett, who asks, if we are reporting earnings in the portal, do we still need to send them to the local Social Security office?
Yes.
All right. And Howard Funkhauser asks, is there a specific reason for these changes? Is the level of difficulty getting paid from the consumers that we work with is increasing?
If he means why are we having more oversight, I mean, or why are we requiring this, it's because the agency is required to have more oversight, and it's the integrity of the program. We have to answer to Congress. I mean, and we need to make sure that we are paying you for a client that you served. And if somebody is not on ePay at this time, it does not mean you cannot get payments. You can always request payments through the portal.
All right. And then the final question I have for now is from Pamela Cross, who asks, I have a person that is over SGA, but they are in current pay, which will not allow the EN to get payment. Can you tell me how this can be?
Oh, hi, Pam. So the only issue is, of course, what we have to do is when the wages information goes to the field office, and the field office staff would need to enter that information into the system to be able to flag those earnings. And, of course, with anything, there may be a delay in getting that information entered into the system. So I would just encourage the ENs to continue to submit for payment. We would continue to enter those wages on our end, and the field office will eventually enter those wages as well, and then they will conduct a work continuing disability review, and then the status of the benefits may or may not change based on that. But again, it's just a matter of when the field officers are able to enter that information into the system.
All right, and that's the last question I have for now from the chat.
Okay, Ron, and do we have any calls in queue on the line?
We do. The next question will come from the line of David Congo. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi everybody. I was just wondering if other people are having issues sometimes when they log into the portal and having their electronic access suspended. Because this has been going on for I'd say about 6 months randomly, and I've tried to get answers for it, but nobody was able to give me answers on it. So,
encourage you to do if you've done it before, then I'll just ask you again to please just reach out to our EN Systems help desk, and just provide them with the issues that you're having. And again, that email address, you can email them, which is ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, or Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You can actually call the Systems Help Desk. And that number, again, is 866 949-3687, and you want to hit option 2. And hopefully they will be able to provide some assistance with that issue.
Okay, thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Luis Mendoza. Please go ahead.
Hi, I haven't gotten a payment since June of 2018. Should I be concerned?
I wouldn't say be concerned. Are you submitting payment requests through the ticket portal?
No, because none of my phase one milestones are working right now. But all my other ones that were already past phase one are working, but I haven't got anything from them. Am I supposed to submit those too?
Well, you can check the portal, and if you know that they're working, and but you're saying so they are working, but they're not submitting their evidence of earnings?
No.
Tim, I understand. This is Kara from Social Security.
Yes.
I understand what you're saying. Like you just, you're not, you don't care about the phase ones right now because those people aren't working. And I think what she's trying to point out is, yeah, there hasn't been an ePay file since the summer. So if you're relying on ePay for your business, we never know when the ePay file is coming out. Sometimes it's delayed. So as Social Security does not recommend relying on ePay for your business, you can submit those payments. Those payments are a lot easier to request through the portal because if we have evidence of earnings, we'll just pay you. You don't have to prove anything for those. So those are pretty easy to get paid on, and you will get paid a lot faster than waiting for ePay.
Thank you very much.
If everything else is fine, when the next ePay file happens, you'll get paid, but you're just getting paid a lot slower in that method.
Okay, I totally understand now. Thank you so much.
We'll take the next question from the line of Sabrina Stamps. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone.
I'm sorry, Sabrina, I can barely hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
That's a little better, yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry. Two questions. The first question is, on the portal when I go to sign in, I'm getting a notice that I have until February the 5th to complete the security awareness training, but did I not hear today on the call that that's not due until the end of February?
Yes, that is. I was just going back to it. I can't remember the exact date in February.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you're receiving a message. Yeah, so it's you have until February 28th to submit the certification.
Okay, but on the portal it's saying I have till February the 5th or I will not have access to the portal.
If you can send that who you are with your DONS to ENS, we can fix that for you. I think what it is it's a one-year expiration. So last year that's the date it was changed on.
Okay.
And so it just automatically comes up in a year, but we can fix that for you, and we'll just put a note to make sure that we get it.
Okay, and I need to send that to EN Awareness?
No, EN Service at SSA.gov.
Okay, very good. Okay, the second question is, we have a consumer that wants to sign up with our employment network. However, she assigned herself to another employment network at the beginning of this month, and they're refusing to, they're avoiding her from unassigning her ticket. So what is her recourse at this point?
The beneficiary can actually submit an unassignment request the beneficiary, so it's all about options. So the beneficiary can actually request an unassignment. They would have to send that information in. Unlike the ENs, the beneficiaries are not able to access the portal, but they definitely can fax in an unassignment request.
Okay, very good. Okay, thank you. So that
you're
has
welcome.
To be writing, or is it on that form, the unassignment form, that is that the method in which they have to use to send in?
I don't know, and SSA can correct me if I'm right. I don't know that there's a standard form, but they can actually just type it up in a Word document,
yeah,
I think, and actually fax it in.
Yeah, they can put the date their name, their Social Security number, and a simple statement, please on-assign my ticket from, and the name of the EN, sign it and fax it in. Yes.
Okay, and what is the normal turnaround time for that to take place, that she could be reassigned?
Generally, the ticket is on assigned effective the date on the letter.
Okay.
But the turnaround time for the call center to on assign the ticket, I'm not sure of the number of business days, but we're thinking it might be 7.
Okay. My only reason for asking is, if, say, for instance, she unassigned it today, I wouldn't be able to go in tomorrow and assign her to our employment network, correct? If it's still showing that she's assigned to another employment network.
Correct. It can only be assigned to one provider at a time. But as Charles was just saying, so in an example, if she submits the request today, which is January 29th, we think that we're sure with that window of time that we have 7 business days turnaround to get that process. So even if we were to process it, say, February the 4th, the unassignment date will be effective January 29th. So when, as long as you, of course, have an individual work plan developed with the beneficiary and signed, then you can submit it in. It just would have to be dated after January 29th.
Okay. Okay. Well, very good. Thank you so very much. You all have a good day.
Thank you, and you're welcome. You too.
Well, now take
Hi,
the next
this is
question.
John. I just wanted to
go ahead, sir.
Oh, I just wanted to provide one piece of clarification. There is a optional standard beneficiary ticket on assignment form, and I have posted that link in the chat if the previous caller would like to use that instead.
Thank you, John.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Diane Roberts. Please go ahead.
Hi again. A very quick question. You've been talking about tickets being unassigned by either the ticket holder or the EN. And I was wondering if it's possible when an EN or if an EN unassigns a ticket based on a mutual decision, let's say the ticket holder has physical issues that have gotten worse and is preventing them from looking for work, and they've said, you know, I'm too sick, so I've said to them, well, let's unassign your ticket. Is it possible to reassign their ticket at a later date? Because that's kind of how I've been working with some of those ticket holders, so as not to hold their ticket and seem like we're looking to make money when we're not actually working with them, but generally they're not working because they're too ill. But is that a possible? I'm hoping that that's possible.
It is. You can definitely do that.
Okay, great.
Yes, ma'am. As long as the ticket, or just remember the ticket can only be assigned to one provider at a time. But yes, if whatever the situation is changes and the beneficiary wants to come back and assign their ticket to your agency, you definitely can do that. You would need, of course, to develop a new individual work plan and submit it, but that is definitely possible.
Okay, great. Perfect. Thank you so much. It's been very informative.
Thank you.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Freddie Floyd. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. I have two quick questions. One person was assigned to a VR agency and they worked it for 3 months. Somehow they were fired due to their not having the ability to do the job. They contacted us. We found that the ticket was assignable. We found them a job within, I guess, a week. Now, do we, when they first get their check, do we have to wait for a while because they were assigned to another agency, or we could go in and take that one payment and request a milestone one, phase one?
I'm sorry, Ms. Floyd. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying this person was assigned to a VR agency. They worked it for 2 months. I think it was 2 months. The beneficiary was not happy because they could not complete their job duties due to their disability. We signed them on and found them a job within 1 week. Now, it's my understanding that if a person worked for another agency and was paid a couple of times, do we have to wait for a while before we submit a phase one, milestone one payment?
It depends. Deborah. It's a couple different scenarios here. First of all, as far as when you can submit a payment, your first payment, you're eligible to submit the first payment 1 month after the ticket is assigned. So if the ticket was assigned in December and the first month you would be eligible to request the phase one milestone would be for January. Now, as far as whether or not you will be eligible to get a phase one milestone based on a scenario you just mentioned, since that beneficiary did work prior to having their ticket assigned with you, you may not be eligible for any of the phase ones or possibly one or two of the phase one milestones due to look back earnings, or based on the earnings level, you may be eligible for them all. But the point I want to make is you can always file a claim 1 month after the ticket is assigned to your EN.
Oh, it has to be 1 month after that.
1 month after that. If the ticket was assigned in December, the first month you can file a claim for is January. Yes.
Right. And the second question, thank you very much. The second question is, and I know you covered that, two of the beneficiaries that I work with, we found jobs, they do not like sending me copies of their wages and have to send copies of their wages to Social Security. So in saying that, if I receive, is it a possible way that I could maybe, if I send the check stubs, do I have to do the COS along in conjunction with that?
No, if you are requesting a phase one milestone one and you submit pay stubs, the pay stubs, that's your proof of relationship.
Okay.
So you would not have to.
Oh, I'm sorry. In phase stone two and three, do I have to still do that?
For phase one milestones.
What I mean about still do that means if they send me their check stub, I really don't have to submit or attach a COS, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay, you answered my question, and thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
We'll take the next question from the line of Sienna Schaefer. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Ms. Schaefer, perhaps your line is on mute.
Okay. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Now.
Thank you.
Okay. I have two questions. My first question is, as a new EN, and we are an AJC, can we choose to use ePay or submit payments through the portal?
Yes, you definitely can submit your payments through the portal. It's actually encouraged.
Okay.
Because, again, remember, the ePay file, it comes right now. We're trying to get it to come every quarter. But we're processing queues from the portal every day. So, yes, you can always submit your request through the portal.
Great. Okay, great. And my second question is, so earlier we were talking about somebody who is working over SGA and they are in current pay status. Could they possibly be in trial work period?
That is possible without looking at the individual case. But, yes, it's possible that someone is working, at the 9 months or working at the trial work period, which is why they're making at or above SGA. It's definitely possible, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And, John, I think we're at the top of the hour right now, so I would like to maybe, John, we'll take one more question from the queues, and then we'll take one more question from the chat.
All right. Our next question from NYESS is, when an EN uses the ticket portal to request a phase one milestone payment, is the fax cover sheet generated?
You would have to create it in the portal.
A fax cover sheet in the portal.
Yeah.
All right. So that will be generated in the portal. And did you want me to ask one more from the chat?
Sure, John.
All right, our next question comes from Peter Mead, who asks, we might have missed a nuance in the earlier question about EN on assignment / no further payments to ENs. I want to revisit. This person asked, if I, the EN, unassigned at the request of the VR, am I eligible for payments? Sounds like we need to request VR to process that on assignment rather than doing it. Is that correct?
Right. If the EN unassigns the ticket, then the EN will not be eligible for any payments after that ticket assignment month. They can request claim months prior to unassignment, but once it's unassigned by the EN, they will not be eligible for payment, future payments. And what was the second part of that question, John?
It sounds like we need to request the VR to process the unassignment rather than having the EN do it.
The VR can't unassign a ticket that's not assigned to them. The EN has to unassign tickets that are assigned to them, the VR to them. Nobody can unassign a ticket that's not assigned to them.
All right. Hopefully that provides clarification.
Yeah, I see that question in the chat. This is Deborah. Sounds to me like there's an EN who has a ticket, and maybe the beneficiary wants to go with the VR, and the VR has asked the EN to unassign the ticket. That sounds like the situation here. And the EN is saying that they need to ask the VR to do the unassignment. But as you said, Kara, if the ticket isn't assigned to the VR or to anyone, the only person or the only entity that can unassign the ticket is whoever the ticket is originally assigned.
Right, and I think now that, because I'm not seeing the chat, now what you said, Deb, is I think what they're trying to say is they don't want to unassign to not be disadvantaged by EN unassignment. But the reality is they're assigning to a VR, and then the VR gets cost reimbursement. You're not going to get any subsequent phase one payments anyway. It's not like going to another EN. It's different because we're not going to pay two entities for the same period of time.
Okay. John, do you have any other questions?
I've got two, but I'm getting contact information so we can follow up with them separately. So we can hop to the phone line.
Okay, and John, on the phone, Ron, sorry, on the phone line, do you have any calls in the queue or questions in the queue?
We do.
Okay, we'll take a couple more.
Thank you. The next question will come from the line of Rosalie Daly. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to clarify when we're doing the unassignment, is there any way we can verify that there was no earnings recorded with SSA that we would be eligible for payment for? Generally, if we're unassigning a ticket, it would be because the client is non-compliant. They're not contacting us, or they're ill and they don't want to work, or they don't want to continue their work, their search for a job. But sometimes if we are trying to unassign a ticket, it's because we haven't been able to get a hold of the client for weeks on end. So is there some way we can confirm before we unassign that there's no earnings that were recorded that we might be eligible for payment for?
You would be able to look in the portal to see if there are established earnings in the system. But again, if you're requesting a phase one milestone one payment, you would need to be able to show some type of, or be able to show proof of relationship. So if you're not able to get in contact with them to show that, then you wouldn't be able to receive payment for those beneficiaries, even if there are earnings in the system. Now, if phase one milestone ones have been addressed and you're asking for phase two milestones or outcomes, and there are earnings already established in the system, then you can submit for payment. So it's just, when you're asking for phase one milestone ones, you're not going to be able to get paid based on earnings already in the system alone. You would need some type of proof of relationship.
For phase two and beyond and outcome, you know, that's when you have the problem where we found that the individual had gotten the job, it was successful, we got paid on phase one, but then be able to continue that ongoing relationship, then maybe they've dropped off. And we're trying to verify that they're continually working or if something's changed. That's, you know, we don't want to keep people on for years on end. We're trying to
establish a procedure is, you know, if they don't contact us back after a period of time, they should be unassigned, and that's what we're being told. But we were just not sure what was the method for us to double-check. So there is something in the portal where we're able to verify any reported earnings.
Yes, you will be able to see earnings in the system if there are verified earnings in SSA's database.
Is there a specific area of the portal to do that?
I'm trying to think. Is someone on SSA line, do you know exactly where they go? I'm not that familiar with navigating through the portal. I'm sorry.
So this is Deborah. You would have to submit a payment request for a specific claim for a specific month. And if there are earnings in SSA systems, you would receive a message that earnings are already proven. If you receive that message, then it means that earnings are in SSA system. But there is nowhere for you to go and look up earnings in the portal. You will have to submit the claim itself.
So it's just for a painting a scenario, and I won't take this very long. So I've milestone one was complete. Now clients in milestone two, and in subsequent months, we've been able to speak with them, no problem. Then the third, fourth, fifth month, we're trying to call them and they're not responding, and we're going to make a decision to unassign. We can make a claim for months 3, 4, and 5 and submit that, and then you guys would be able to tell us whether or not there were earnings submitted and proved and verified. And if not, then there would be no.
Let us be clear about the type of claim when you say 1, 2, and 3. First of all, phase 1 milestones, forget about those going into the portal to try to get earnings already proven for those. If you're talking about phase 2 milestones, phase 2 milestone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or any outcome, you can submit a claim for, let's say, phase 2 milestone 3 for August of 2018. If their earnings and Social Security system that satisfy whatever the requirement was, SGA earnings and the beneficiary's incurred pay, because that's a requirement for a phase 2 milestone, then you would get a message back. Well, you would get the message back, earnings already proven. The portal won't tell you whether or not the beneficiary's incurred pay or not. But if it's for a phase 2 milestone, the system can check to see what that earnings level is for a phase 2 milestone. And if those earnings are in Social Security system, you will get a message back, earnings already proven. You can go into the portal and do the same for phase 1 milestone, 2, 3, or 4, if that's what you're talking about. But if you get that message back, earnings already proven, you will have to submit an EN cost along with that, or either
sure.
You will have to hit pay stub. Okay.
Okay, and within that, when you say they must be in current pay, they need to be in current pay for the month of the claim.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
You have to have the pay, you know, it's other requirements other than earnings. You know, pay status is one, so they would have to fulfill all the requirements for the type of payment that's being requested.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ms. Tennessee. And okay, John, we're going to take one more question, and then we're going to wrap it up for today. I'm sorry, Ron.
Okay, thank you. We'll now take the next question from the line of Mary Arnold. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to comment, actually, that I was having that same problem on the ticket portal, and what happens is when I have to reset my SSA password every time I try to get in the ticket portal, and it does not work. And I've been back and forth with the systems desk, but it still hasn't been resolved yet. So I just wanted to make that comment because someone said they were having that same problem, and it's been ongoing. And it's been ongoing for me since I signed in. We're new to the process, but so I'll keep on working with the help desk. But I don't know what the problem is. I was glad to hear that someone was having the same problem. That's all
I have. Okay, thank you. And like I said, we have noted that there have been some technical difficulties throughout the call, and hopefully that those issues will be resolved. Okay. So I want to go ahead and just thank you all for your participation in today's call. We had some really good questions. please remember that we do have the EN Payments Help Desk that will be able to assist you with any payment-related calls. Please outreach to them. And we're looking forward. Hope you'll be able to join us in our next All EN Payments call. But again, this will conclude today's meeting. And thank you all, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect your lines.